Well, good morning and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. So wonderful walking in here this morning, seeing all of you, church family. It'll be wonderful when we all come together worshiping the Lord in heaven someday. It'll be wonderful. Please open with me in your Bibles to Romans 8:28. That will serve as our sermon text this morning. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I wanted to talk about Paul for a minute, Paul, the author of the book of Romans. And before his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul was known as Saul. It was his Hebrew name. He was Saul of Tarsus, a city in modern-day Turkey. It was a zealous Pharisee who actively persecuted Christians and was a student of the renowned Jewish rabbi Gamaliel. He was seeking to suppress the Christians, the Christian movement, and arrest their followers. And Saul was on his way to Damascus with a letter from the high priest of the temple in Jerusalem, giving him authority to arrest any who belonged to the way, meaning those who follow Jesus Christ. And Saul's life changed dramatically on the road to Damascus while he had been a vision with Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus came and struck him and stopped him. And it was quite an amazing time, really. I mean, it was his conversion and his subsequent ministry as the Apostle Paul. This was a turning point in his life, and he used this experience to serve the Lord. But the Apostle Paul never forgot the essence of what God wanted him to be and do. Focus and enthusiasm were at the heart of his relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether he was reasoning with philosophers in Athens, experiencing shipwreck in the Mediterranean, or being chained to a Roman soldier in prison, he focused on his calling to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And while he was in prison, Paul wrote, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. Paul knew that the past is no barrier to moving forward with the Lord. Whatever his circumstances were, Paul continually pressed forward in his calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So this morning, my friends, I would like us to think for a moment about the challenges that you faced, the trials that have tested your faith, and the moments when you felt overwhelmed by life's circumstances. And during these struggles, have you ever wondered if there is any purpose or meaning behind them? Are they just random events, or is there something greater at work here going on? And in these moments of questioning and doubt, Romans 8:28, I mean, it shines like a beacon of hope, a beacon of light. It reminds us that God is not distant, indifferent to our suffering. Instead, he is intimately involved in every aspect of our lives, working everything together for our ultimate good. So this morning, we will explore three key aspects of Romans 8:28 that will provide encouragement and hope to each one of us. First, we'll discover that God is in control even when life seems chaotic. Second, we'll delve into the promise that all things work together for good, even during our trials. And third, we will understand the significance of loving God and how it positions us to experience the fulfillment of this promise. So first, God is in control, my friends. And let us turn our attention to the first aspect of Romans 8:28, which assures us of God's unwavering sovereignty over our lives. And as we read these powerful words penned by the Apostle Paul, we are reminded that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. My friends, life is filled with challenges and uncertainties. We encounter unexpected setbacks, disappointments, and trials that can shake our faith and leave us questioning God's plan. In such moments, you know, it's crucial to remember that we are not alone in our struggles. Friends, we serve a God who is aware of every circumstance that we face. And he remains in control even when our circumstances seem overwhelming. It's comforting to know that regardless of what we face, financial difficulties, health issues, broken relationships, or any other trial, God is still in control. And the Lord sees the bigger picture. He does. And his purposes extend far beyond our immediate circumstances. And when we surrender our lives to him, we can trust that he is actively working all things together for our good, even when we cannot see it. And throughout Scripture, we find numerous examples of God's faithfulness in turning difficult situations for good. And I'm sure many of you have read the story of Joseph. Let's consider that story. Joseph, who experienced betrayal by his brothers, was sold into slavery and endured years of imprisonment. Yet in the end, God used Joseph's trials to position him as a key leader who saved his family and the entire nation of Egypt from famine. Another example is the life of Job, who suffered great loss and adversity, but ultimately witnessed the restoration of all he had lost. My friends, these accounts, they are powerful reminders that our circumstances do not limit our great God, because our great God can work miracles even in our most challenging situations. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. My friends, this verse reminds us to trust in God's faithfulness even when we face difficulties or when we feel like we are failing. We can rest assured that God will be true to his promises and that he will never leave us or forsake us. So knowing that God is in control, let us explore the second aspect of Romans 8:28. The promise that all things work together for good. And reflecting on the phrase, all things, in Romans 8:28, it reveals the breadth and depth of God's promise. It encompasses every aspect of our lives, both the pleasant and the painful, the joyous and the sorrowful. Nothing is outside the scope of God's ability to work for our ultimate good. Even during the most challenging circumstances, we can hold on to the assurance that God is at work, orchestrating events according to his divine plan. My friends, it is important to understand that God's definition of good may differ from our understanding. For in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, the Lord God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And while we often associate good with comfort, success, and immediate gratification, God's perspective extends beyond our temporal desires. God's definition of good encompasses our spiritual growth, character, development, and eternal purposes. Sometimes we perceive difficulties or setbacks as opportunities for God to mold us, refine our faith, and shape us into vessels for His glory. 1 Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This verse, it highlights that trials and challenges, all part of God's refining process, just as fire refines gold, to test and purify our faith, to be vessels for His glory. And it will lead to praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So now that we have gained a deeper understanding of God's ability to work all things for our good, let us explore the third and final aspect of Romans 8:28, the significance of loving God. In 1 John 4:16, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." People, those who love God, this is what this verse is talking about. Those who love God. Do you love God? Do you have a relationship with him? Romans 8:28 finds a condition attached to the promise, a condition of loving God. And what does it mean to truly love God? Loving God goes beyond mere sentiment or affection. It involves a deep, intimate relationship with him, characterized by obedience, trust, and surrender. And when we genuinely love God, our perspective on life changes. We begin to see our circumstances through his love and purpose. To truly love God means surrendering our will to his will. It means aligning our desires, plans, and ambitions with his divine purposes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. My friends, it requires letting go of our understanding and trusting in his wisdom and guidance. When we surrender to God, we position ourselves to experience the fullness of his promises, including the assurance that all things work together for our good. So, my friends, consider how you can begin to deepen your love for God today. Start today. Cultivate a prayer life, seeking the Lord's presence and wisdom in every situation. In Jeremiah and James 5:16, "Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." My friends, engage in heartfelt worship, expressing your love and adoration for the Lord. And most importantly, strive to obey his word. For Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." My friends, in this journey of loving God, we will discover the joy and fulfillment of aligning our hearts with his. And with a deep understanding of what it means to love God, we have explored the three key aspects of Romans 8:28. So my friends, let's go over these. These aspects. Number one, God's control. Two, his ability to work all things for good. And three, the significance of loving him. It holds power to transform our lives and bring us rest in his unfailing grip. And I believe that Paul lived every aspect of Romans 8:28. His life and writings demonstrate a strong belief in God's sovereignty and the ultimate good that comes from suffering for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So as we close out this message, my friends, let us reiterate the assurance and hope that Romans 8:28 brings to our lives. This powerful promise reminds us that God is in control, that he can work all things together for our good, and that those who love him are the recipients of this divine plan. My friends, in a world filled with uncertainties and trials, Romans 8:28 offers a firm foundation on which we can stand. My dear brothers and sisters, be encouraged to trust God's promises. Let go of your worries, anxieties. Last week in Joel's message, it was awesome. It was about this. You've got to let go of worries, anxieties, and doubts, and find rest in the Lord's unfailing hands of love and care. Release them to him. It amounts to nothing in the end. Remember that he is always at work, even amid your most challenging circumstances. Embrace his sovereignty, knowing he holds your life in his loving hands. So as we go forth from this place today, may we hold unto the promise of Romans 8:28 throughout our week. Now, let it be a guiding light in our decisions, a source of comfort in our trials, and a reminder of God's faithfulness. Let us live each day with the assurance that our Heavenly Father is working all things for our ultimate good. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in humility and humbleness. We acknowledging your sovereignty and your unwavering love for us, Lord, who love you and are called according to your purpose. Help us to understand the depth of your plan for our lives, Lord, and to trust in your wisdom, even when we don't see the path ahead or the outcome of our circumstances. Lord, we pray for your guidance and strength to navigate the challenges and opportunities that lie before us. And may we be vessels of your grace and love, reflecting your character in all that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We will now show each other the sign of peace, followed by the communion message.